What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Rashee Rice, 6'1", 205 pounds, last year for SMU, 96 catches, 1,355 yards. 10 touchdowns, averaged almost 113 yards per game. That was tops in college football. 18 receptions of 20 yards or more.
Say that again for the ones in back.
18 receptions of 20 yards or more last year. That was first in college football. And the Chiefs got this guy with the 55th overall pick in the NFL draft. Now, we can ding him, right? I can poke holes in the resume a little bit. I can say, okay, well, he went to Rice. He played in the AAC. That's not exactly SEC competition. He's not exactly going up against a bunch of future NFL cornerbacks. I can point to the drops. He had 24 of them in his career. He had, I think, 9 last season. It's a bit of a concern. I can point to some of the route running flaws, right? There's miscues. If you want to grind the tape, you can find a lot of holes and a lot of reasons why this guy would fall to 55. But if I want to do half glass full, I can do... Did I just say half glass full?
You're on a roll. I just, you know, you're on a roll.
Well, I stumbled.
You can tell it's 7 o'clock on a Monday.
You're on a roll, man. Just keep going.
If I want to be optimistic, I should have just went that way. I can find a lot of reasons why the Chiefs may have gotten one of the steals at receiver in this draft class. We talked over the weekend about his ceiling, about not maybe judging him based off of what he does in his rookie year.
It's a squat video, isn't it?
Yeah, 500 pounds, man.
It really is.
500 pounds. The guy was moving furniture around.
It's kind of catchy.
What's your kind of 30,000-foot view on this draft pick and what this guy can mean for the Chiefs?
I like it because I was a big Jonathan Mingo guy, and they're kind of in the same mold. You know, but he mentioned he was third leading receiver in the nation. His 112, almost 113 yards. He's only received over 110 yards per game, which is impressive. But here's the one thing, Nick and Chris, that really I'm looking forward to. He's a Mahomes guy. You know, and so is Sky Moore. Like, Kadarius Toney wasn't drafted by the Chiefs. He comes in. Justin Watson wasn't drafted by the Chiefs. He comes in. What receivers do they have out there that were drafted by the Chiefs, their first day at Arrowhead Stadium, Pat Mahomes is the quarterback. That's why I'm really interested to see how those guys develop and grow, because we always will see it. How's Mahomes going to turn receivers into what he wants? Well, guess what? He has these guys from day one. So Sky Moore in there with Rashee Rice, but MVS could be that guy because he is 6'4" and fast, but Rashee Rice has that toughness that I think they've been missing since Sammy Watkins. Juju gave him a hint of that last year when healthy. But Sammy Watkins, to me, is so impressive as a blocker that is something really missed. And before we get a bunch of texts about Sammy always being hurt, in the postseason he wasn't, and he averaged almost 100 receiving yards per game with this team, but they've been looking for that Sammy Watkins type. They have him. He's not as fast, but they've got him.
I mean, Sammy did miss some playoff games, so we can't discount
not many.
That. He missed like one half of one game. He missed like three, I think.
Not with the Chiefs.
But Sammy is, I think, the ideal comparison for him. Big body guy, probably. I mean, he's not the burner that Sammy is, but he is absolutely the same kind of big, like a big running back, essentially, where like he catches passes and then he's able to run after the catch. And I think he could be more of a possession style, go up and get it type guy. The Chiefs really haven't had that in a receiver. I mean, not even Sammy was really that kind of guy. So that would be interesting to see. One thing, though, that interests me about this situation, though, I don't think, like, I know some people are saying, oh, this is going to be our next, like, great receiver or whatever. I don't think that. And I don't think the Chiefs think that. They hope that he can be, like, a really good number two. But I think the guy that they've been gushing about all offseason, Kadarius Toney, that's the guy they think of. And they see as the heir apparent to Tyreek Hill. And to me, like, hearing all the confidence that they have in him is going to be really exciting. And I think it takes a lot of pressure off of Rashee Rice, because Rashee's not going to have to be the top receiver for this team. If he somehow turns into that, cool. But I don't think the team looks at him that way, and I don't think the expectation will be on him to be that way. And I think that is actually kind of exciting to me, because if Rashee Rice with his talents is a complimentary piece to a Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney situation in the receiving core, that's actually going to be really fun, because you're going to have a lot of options there for Mahomes to throw to.
And handpicked by Mahomes, a guy that he really liked. The Chiefs kind of stashed, hey, we don't want you to know about this guy.
You know, that's a really good point, Chris. Kadarius Toney is the guy who the Chiefs, going back to, I think it was week 18, their game against the Raiders, Lewis Riddick goes on the air and says, on Monday on ESPN, he says, they believe this guy could be their best receiver by the end of this year. He was talking about last season. Where do you think Lewis Riddick got that from? You think he just made it up? I think he just decided, you know what, I'm going to go on the air today and act like the Chiefs are in love with Kadarius Toney.
He's friends with the power that be.
And then again, James Palmer said it right at the beginning of the offseason when talking about Juju Smith-Schuster. He planted the seed before the Chiefs let Juju walk to New England and said they believe, with or without Juju, Kadarius Toney could be this team's number one. Nate Taylor, go read his recent piece on The Athletic. He says it again. The Chiefs believe that there's going to be an opportunity for Kadarius Toney to be the number one receiver in this offense. Listen, judge them and listen to what they are telling you. Judge them based off what they're telling you. The Chiefs are telling anyone who will listen, Kadarius Toney is going to be our number one receiver. Judge them based off of what they think is going to happen. If you love Rashee Rice and you think he's going to be a star, that's fantastic. But the Chiefs, Chris, to your point, they're not telling you, we think this guy's going to be a superstar receiver. We can't believe we got him where we did.
I think we're underestimating the snaps he's going to get. As I mentioned, he is that Juju replacement. What they said is we can go through the draft, get somebody to replace Juju. We're not going to pay him all the money. I think we're underestimating.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that doesn't mean in 2023.
I think we're underestimating the snaps he's going to get, because he's got the fortunate advantage of having a skill set that others don't have.
Yeah, but if he's not ready to play, then he's not ready to play.
If he's not,
I don't think they're going to. We talked about this on Friday.
But receivers we see do get in early.
Right, they do, but the Chiefs do not rush guys out there if they don't feel like they're ready.
No, they don't. But by week 5 or 6, I mean, again, they wanted Juju. And they tried to get him the year before, wanted him, didn't want to pay him this money, and I get that and understand it. They felt they could draft somebody, but he possesses something.
Okay, let me
break
it. They played a year
without a Juju type on their team, and were pretty damn good.
Coveted him. Yeah, they had pictures of his ring.
But they are not going to rush him if he's not ready.
Let's put some numbers to it, though, guys. So last year, because of the missed time, right, Juju missed some games after the concussion versus Jacksonville. Marquez Valdez-Scantling actually led the team in snaps from wide receiver. He played 67%. It would have been Juju had he been healthy. Juju played 66% of snaps. All right, so those guys were kind of neck and neck at the top of the wide receiver room. Do you know who was third on the team in wide receiver snaps last year? Justin Watson at 43%. Sky Moore came in at 27%. Mecole Hardman came in at 26%. In fact, Noah Gray played more snaps than Justin Watson did, than Sky Moore did, than Mecole Hardman did.
Yeah, they run double tight a ton.
I'm not sure anyone has their finger on the pulse of this wide receiver room. Even if you think you have a good idea of what's going to happen, even if you're listening to what Brett Veach is telling you through the media, if you're reading the tea leaves, what do we have to go off of other than we know MVS has a role in this offense? We know that.
I think injury dictates a bunch of things.
MVS played. Regardless of how he produced, MVS played all season long.
Pretty much.
I don't think he's losing his role. The Chiefs want Kadarius Toney to be number one. We'll see if his body cooperates.
Again,
we have yet to see him
dictate snaps.
We have yet to see him play a full season, so it's kind of like I need to see it before I'm going to predict that that guy's going to give you 20 weeks of football. Outside of that, if you want to sit here today and bang your chest and say, I think Rashee Rice will be number two on the other side, I think he'll be the slot receiver, I think he'll take the juju snaps, go for it. Because I can't sit here with any amount of conviction and tell you that Sky Moore is going to play over him. I can't sit here with any amount of conviction and tell you that Richie James is going to play over him. I think those guys will. But what do I have to go off of? Sky Moore played 27% of offensive snaps last year. He's got an extra year in the offense. Maybe he's a little more polished. But maybe Rashee Rice is just better. I think that wide receiver room is wide open heading into next season.
Yeah, Chris, I agree with you.
We talked about that. Is it the most, I mean, it's probably the most, I mean, obviously right tackle is going to be a position to watch in St. Joe, but the wide receiver order is going to be probably number two.
I think the wide receiver order is going to be the biggest thing that we're going to be talking about for most of camp.
Probably.
I think we're going to overreact to who gets number one reps. I think if Rashee Rice isn't running with the number one or running very many snaps with the number ones, I think there's going to be people that are freaking out.
I can't wait for that first tweet, by the way.
Oh, 100%. Like, there's going to be people texting in.
Or be like, hey, video. Richie James was running with the ones.
What's
on
happening with Rashee? They drafted him in the second round. It's like they had a second round receiver last year who played a quarter of the snaps for the offense last year. This is just what the Chiefs do. And I hope that you don't have people here on this station and elsewhere who are trying to put too much pressure on this kid and saying, oh, he's got to come in and contribute early, because it's not really fair to him, because you have a ton of people ahead of him. There's a huge list of receivers right now that they have on their roster. And B, this is a kid that was playing a very primitive offense when he was at SMU. This was not a very complex route tree. This is a kid who was not used properly. He has a lot of work to do to go from playing at SMU, where he was highly productive, but again, very primitive offense, to playing now the most complex and the most advanced offense in the NFL. There's a huge difference there. So I hope that we understand that there's going to be a learning curve here, and it's going to take some time for him to learn to be in it, unless he's a freak and he just very quickly acclimates to an NFL offense the way that we've seen some guys in his position do. I just don't think it's fair for us to put that kind of pressure on him this early.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really tough to judge him and really any of these guys in this draft class based off of what they do in year one. We were fortunate enough to see last year's draft class.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Hit the ground running. I'm not sure that's going to be the case next year. But I do think there is one commonality with all seven of the guys that the Chiefs drafted. We'll talk about it next with Chris Unocero, Jay Binkley. I'm Nick Schwartz. This is Character Concerns on 610 Sports Radio.
This is an NFL draft special with the Character Concerns podcast crew. Subscribe and download today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. 610 Sports Radio.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you know that these days, generating growth is a challenge. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll not just stay ahead of the curve, you'll move it. With access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2023 Bank of America N.A.
Vern here to remind you Royals fans that 1 hour before first pitch every game day, I give you a chance to win a pair of tickets on the new trivia game, It's the Pitch Clock. You can hear that, the On Deck Show, every Royals game, and every post-game show on your phone, tablet, or smart speaker with the Odyssey app. And if you ever miss a show, just check out the podcast, All Things Vern. I join Fesco in the morning, Mondays at 8 a.m., Cody and Gold, Wednesdays at 12:30, and every Friday with CDOT on the drive. Your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City is 610 Sports Radio.
Character Concerns on 610 Sports Radio. If you'd like to join the show, you can do so on our text line, 913-586-7610. Chris was talking about Rashee Rice at SMU, the primitive offense that they were running.
It was all Rashee Rice.
Well, every time I hear the word primitive, I think of...
It's not a 1995 offense. It's not.
No, dude.
It was Tanner Mordecai saying, just go out.
Yeah, it was just like, Rashee, just get open. We'll throw it to you.
Every time I hear the word primitive, I think of Mike Tyson in the post. How dare they challenge me with their primitive skills?
It was all about Ryan. Put it this way. He led the team with 96
catches. That wasn't a very good Tyson impression.
Well, I didn't practice
that
it.
That wasn't very good.
I didn't workshop it.
He leads with 96 catches. Jordan Curley was number two with 37. He had 96, and Moochie Dixon was third on receptions there with 28.
Moochie's a good nickname. That's a good nickname.
That's why he is a great name, Chris. That's why he had 96. That is I don't know. I mean, take a while to look at 131 teams, but I can't imagine much discrepancy between a 96 and 37. Can you in college football?
That's,
from the one and two receiver.
Usually it's smaller schools where you have a good physical talent at receiver, and then the rest of the guys are just guys.
I mean, this is ridiculous between one and two, the gap.
Guys, I think there is a very common thread when you look at what the Chiefs did it in the draft on, well, really Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, specifically though early. And that is, newsflash, the Chiefs target athleticism. And I know that may not seem like much, like really, yeah, it's the NFL draft. Of course you want athletes. But as we know, sometimes there is a decision to make between prospects. Do you want the guy with the very refined, polished skill set, or do you want the dude who's an explosive athlete and just has a higher profile? Perfect example, look in the first round, a couple of receivers that we've talked about. Compare Quentin Johnston to Jordan Addison. Right? Both of the guys, did they go back-to-back picks, I think?
Yeah, that 20 to 23 range, I think they were both in there.
Yeah, well, Jordan Addison.
I think it was Zay, and then it was...
It went Quentin Johnston 21st, Jordan right. Addison 23rd.
Right.
Right, they're both receivers, but they're both very different in terms of athleticism. Quentin Johnston, 6'3", 210, explosive. Jordan Addison, 5'11", What about a $175, a $180? Not the fastest dude in the world. Didn't test super well at the combine, but he's very polished. He played on the outside. He played in the slot. He's played in multiple systems. He can do a little bit of everything. A very refined route tree. When you look at what the type of player that the Chiefs drafted, especially if I want to just isolate their first five picks, they went all athleticism. Felix in round one is probably the lowest of the bunch. He had really good agility grades, though, really good explosive grades. He didn't run the 40. He didn't, so we don't have the 20-yard split, the 10-yard split. But you look at Rashee Rice, like his speed and size combination, his explosion, 41-inch vertical. Same thing with Wanya Morris. To run a 5'1 at his size, 6'5, 307, that's high-level speed, high-level explosion. A 93-inch broad jump, like a 9-foot, 3-inch broad jump, that is high-level explosion for an offensive tackle. Chimari Connor, 40.5-inch vertical, 10-foot, 5-inch broad jump. They went after athletes. And when you look at that from a 30,000-foot view, I say, okay, you drafted athletic guys, but how are you going to use them? How do you grade these guys? That, to me, is the first signal that the Chiefs are not banking on these dudes being great from day one. They're saying, we see the physical traits. We see the stuff that we can't coach. Now we're going to get you into our building. We're going to refine you. We're going to get you with our coaches. We're going to train you up the right way. And maybe in a year or two, hopefully sooner, but if not, that's okay. You have the stuff we can't teach you. Now we're going to teach you the rest of it. And if you put it all together, they could be really special players. It's something, even, you know, even if you look at what they did in round five, B.J. Thompson, right, out of Stephen F. Austin, the same way, right? The guy's 6'5", 243, undersized, but runs a 4'6", 37.5-inch vert, 10-foot, 5-inch broad jump. These are high-level athletic traits that you just don't find in every single round.
Yeah, you mentioned those verticals. I mean, they have two of the top 11. Actually, there's a whole bunch of them right at the 41.5, but two of the top 10 verticals. It still doesn't explain the Zach Kuntz, who had a 10 out of 10.
How did he make this about Zach Kuntz?
Because, no, it's still bothering me. That is the one thing still bothering me.
Chris, I was disappointed with that pick.
He had a 10.
I was disappointed in not taking my boy.
He had a 10 score, right, that ranked number one out of 1,105 tight ends from 87 to 2003. But again, back to the Chiefs,
no,
guys.
No,
it's still bothering me. It's still bothering me.
Actually, I do.
His athleticism is off the chart.
I'm willing to take a sidebar here just for a quick, brief moment. You on Saturday morning suggested at the beginning of the fourth round that the Chiefs should trade up to draft Zach Kuntz in the fourth round.
I made a huge mistake.
Wait, who made the bigger mistake? You or the Chiefs for not drafting him?
Did I make a mistake, or if he goes out and gets 60 for 1,300 or 1,200 yards, did I make a mistake?
That is the paradox of the NFL draft.
Because you know what? Last year, people said this about Tariq Woolen, who I had mocked the second. He went in the fifth, finished third in Rookie of the Year.
It is, you know, it's really easy to say, well, of course they drafted athletes. Who wouldn't want to draft athletes? But when you go back and look at like recent years, Trent McDuffie was not a guy that jumped off the page with his measurables. He's a little bit undersized. Right, he doesn't have the prototypical CB1 length or size. George Karloftis, he has really good size, but in terms of explosion, acceleration, he's not one of those elite premier athletic prospects.
He did his pro day shirtless in 20-degree weather. That's
plus Karloftis was like he was considered a little bit short in arm length department because he's under 33 inches. So there were some concerns with that too. That might be why he kind of fell in the draft.
Which the Chiefs don't typically take for edge.
They typically don't go with guys with that arm length. But they
Trey
did for
Smith
him.
Injury concerns. They went against what they usually do because a lot of teams pull those guys off the board. The Chiefs have been more lenient with what their specifics on the board.
I am looking at Karloftis, by the way. The one area he did grade really, really well is explosion. Had a 38-inch vert.
Yeah, his vert was really good. And the thing with McDuffie was that they really liked his hip fluidity.
Greasy hips.
That was the second
name. We settled on character concerns for this show, but second on that list was greasy hips.
But you know what's funny? Shamari Connor, here's a guy, you know, taking the fourth, finishing 11th in the combine invert. I mean, it's ridiculous because he's almost like Rashee Rice. They're very similar, only a half inch difference.
The one thing that I really found interesting, though, was the B.J. Thompson pick, because like in college, he played at 220. It's like 6'5", 220 in college. It's Stephen F. Austin.
Numbers.
That's what I'm saying. Like he was basically like essentially like a tall wide receiver or a tight end. But the thing, though, is since the end of the season, he's put on 20 pounds. So he's 240 now. And Jason Lamb, the chief scout, the one that did the press conference and talked about him and was the one that scouted him, said that he could probably put on another 20 pounds and get up to 260 by the time the season starts. And so now you're looking at an interesting situation.
That's like Frank Clark for reference.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah, that's about the size of Frank Clark in terms of weight, but you're talking like another 2 inches taller than Frank.
And you're talking only one of 10 players.
And he's got crazy long arms.
Yeah, you're
too.
Talking only 10 players out of 125 schools FCS, and he was taken.
Yeah.
I mean, that just shows you one of 10 from FCS that was drafted.
So this is a guy who's a great athlete, and I'm really interested to see what they do with him because normally a speed rusher, but I imagine that if they're going to have him put on a little bit more weight, they're going to try to work some more strength into him and maybe make him a little bit more of a power rusher than he was at Stephen F. Austin. I'm really interested to see what they do with him because that could be a guy that could shock a lot of people with him as a rotational edge rusher. And then maybe as the season goes along, he could work his way in as a pretty regular pass rusher, and the Chiefs will have some decisions to make.
And Chris, we're talking a special teamer, block three kicks at Baylor.
So he is 243 at his pro day, played at 220. As a high school senior, he was 200 pounds. So this guy is like being manufactured into a pass rusher.
You know, it's a lot like Felix.
His genetics did not say, hey, should weigh 260 pounds.
Felix was 205 in high school.
It's crazy.
You look at him in his photos before the season. You know, they take the photos for the team. He looks like a basketball player in a football uniform.
Did you see the video of him at Baylor?
Yeah.
By the way, this guy started his career at Baylor, played his first 2 years.
He's pretty good.
Didn't play a ton, but
when
they had
he did, he was very effective.
So they were at one of the Baylor basketball games, they had, or maybe it was like a Midnight Madness thing. They had a dunk contest between the basketball team and the football team. And he's out there, 6'5", 220 at the time, probably. And he's out there dunking, looking like an actual basketball player. Because at 6'5", 220, that's a shooting guard. That's an off-ball guard.
Very athletic. Again, they win athleticism 100% with it. And I'm kind of curious.
Explosion. Explosiveness. Explosive athlete.
And I look at Tano Passanio. That was the guy that they were going to groom to play. And we've waited 2 years on Tano. They must think something different on him. Played in the Shrine game. The Chiefs.
You mean Kando?
Was that?
Kando?
Tano Passanio. Well,
but Tano Passanio was 300 pounds.
Yeah, but Tano was 2017. You're talking about Kando 2 years ago.
Well, Kando and Passanio were two guys they thought were going to develop
more than they did. Yeah.
I'm putting them in that same category. He played in the East-West Shrine game, had a sack and a half in that game. The Chiefs loved the Shrine game, man. They got Coburn and Thompson out of that.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see what Thompson does.
You know, if you add B.J. Thompson and Coburn's weight and split it in half, they're both prototypical size.
Dominated Shrine game.
By the way, there's some really impressive videos of Keandre Coburn moving some weight around as well.
Snacks?
Yeah. Big snacks.
Yeah.
That kid's really strong, and you can see it when he's on the field. Like, he just defeats double teams with no problem.
And how excited these guys are to play for the Chiefs. I mean, it's...
Well, and this guy, and Keandre Coburn, I believe they said on the draft, he's about to become a father. I think his wife is currently pregnant. So he's going to, by the time the season starts, he'll have dad strength.
Okay.
Do you know about dad strength, Vink? Is it a real thing?
You elevate a little bit.
Do you get stronger when you had your first kid?
100%.
Wow. So you have that to look forward to, Chiefs fans.
And dad pants.
Well, I don't really care about that.
Like Chris Young with the Royals, that was dad pants.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, every time, I feel like now that anytime the Chiefs draft an athletic guy from a smaller school, everyone's going to compare him to Tano Passanio.
Every time.
I've heard Tano Passanio's name more time in the last week than I have in the last 4 years. I'm like, Tano Passanio was 6'5", 300 pounds, and 5% body fat. They're not exactly bringing those guys. Oh, and he came from Villanova. They're not exactly bringing those dudes into the NFL every single year.
He came on a system. The last guy drafted on defense from Villanova was Howie Long. That shows the difference between the ages of Tano Passanio.
Yeah, so Stephen F. Austin, Villanova, maybe you can draw some parallels there, but there's clearly a common trait.
By the way,
explosiveness, athleticism, and the Chiefs went after it early and often in this 2023 NFL draft. What are our overall thoughts on this class? How impactful can they be next year, over the next 2 years, over the next 5 years? We'll discuss it next on Character Concerns here on 610 Sports Radio.
This is an NFL Draft Special with the Character Concerns Podcast Crew. Subscribe and download today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. 610 Sports Radio.
This is Character Concerns on 610 Sports Radio. I am Nick Schwert with Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you haven't, go check out our podcast. You can subscribe and listen to it wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Spotify. Not stopping. It's not stopping.
That's right. That's right. It is one of the fastest growing NFL draft podcasts on the 435 Podcast Network by many metrics. So, I mean, I don't know. I would suggest checking it out.
You're not wrong.
We've been pumping out a lot of content over the last week or so. Somebody asked me earlier today, a coworker said, "Are you excited for the draft to be over?" I said, "No." What do you mean no? What do you mean am I excited for the draft? Why would I be excited? This is what it's about, man. And it's not over because we got another show tonight. We're going until 9 o'clock tonight. You think we're just going to stop making? You think we're just going to stop doing shows?
I told you, I think the draft, honestly, is in my top five sporting events every year. It's not going to change.
Did it being in Kansas City make it more enjoyable for you?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I don't know. I still would have enjoyed it if it was in Detroit. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, it's cool with the city and all the money and everything they hear. It was cool because Kansas City looked incredible. But not saying I wouldn't be as excited about this.
It was incredible out there.
Oh, yeah, you went on Saturday. How was it?
It was it was a great experience as far as not just like going there to see stuff. Because Saturday, the draft is not very exciting. It's literally just naming a bunch of players that almost most of these people have never heard of. But it was fun getting to walk around. They had a ton of things for people to enjoy as families. They had like some replica trophies on display there because those definitely are not the real Lombardi trophies. 100% not the real Lombardi trophies.
Leave those out there?
You're not going to leave those out there in the sun like that just for people to just randomly walk up to. There were fans for other teams taking pictures with our Lombardi trophies. So, you know, I can understand you're probably starved for championships with the Chiefs around, but they had a lot of things out there for you to do if you are a fan. If you're a casual fan, there was still a lot of stuff for you to do out there. They had like a field goal kicking competition type deal. They had some goalposts set up there, near the Liberty Memorial.
What was your distance, Chris?
I did not kick. I have to avoid athletic endeavors while my broken finger heals. So,
yeah, what happened to you?
Yeah, I was playing flag football for a corporate challenge, and I was trying to make a play and broke a finger.
I was more impressed that you did all that.
Did you make the play?
I did not make the play.
Okay.
The guy got by me because when my finger snapped.
What were you, linebacker, strong safety?
I was playing cover. I was playing corner.
Cover corner.
And, yeah, I mean, I was locking people down. But, yeah, after I broke my finger, I was.
You got to play hurt. You got to play hurt, man.
I played hurt. I just wasn't as effective when I was hurt.
I was more impressed, Chris, that you went and did all that, and yet you still made it back here to sit and watch the Nick Jones pick.
Yeah, I was tired at that point. I was worn out.
You made it back for Nick Jones. We didn't stay for Mr. Relevant. We bolted, but we wanted to see Jones.
Yeah, really? I did get back to see the very
end. At some point, I was like, I got to go, man.
Yeah, it was like you're just. I was just sitting there like in the sun. And it was like, okay, now I'm starting to feel it. But it was really cool. The stage is beautiful. Like, it was so beautiful out there. Just the whole design and everything. And the fountain just looks so much bigger because of, I don't know why, but it looks so much bigger with that design there. And there was probably, like, I think they said over 100,000 people were there on Saturday. So it was a really good turnout. There's a lot of cool things to do. So I'm really glad I went. At least one day to go check it out for a few hours.
And again, impressed because you did the show till noon. You went and did everything at the draft. You made it back here for the final pick watching with me. So great job, Chris.
I appreciate the
commendation. Great athleticism.
Yeah, now I gotta go on the injured list and heal up.
Guys, 14 quarterbacks were taken in the draft this weekend. And at one point, I'm sitting there watching, and I want to say it was, I don't know, it may have been the Clayton Tune pick by Arizona or the Sean Clifford pick by Green Bay. Both those were in the fifth round. And one of the guys on the broadcast said, oh, well, you know, we're starting to see a run on quarterbacks because of everybody around the league's watching what happened with Brock Purdy last year. And I thought to myself, wait, what? Everybody around the league saw Brock Purdy have a good rookie season after being drafted in the seventh round, and they thought to themselves, huh, we should get one of those late round quarterbacks because they're pretty good. Like, that's not quite how this works. Usually, guys who are drafted where Brock Purdy are drafted are drafted where Brock Purdy are drafted because they're not quite as good as the other quarterback prospects. So now that you drafted Clayton Toon,
you're not
going to
get
fifth
Mahomes,
round,
Josh Allen in the fifth round.
You're going to get a guy who's going to lead you to the NFC Championship game. It's not quite how the math works out.
Here's where it worked out. Cornerbacks, 38 corners were taken. That was number one in the draft. 32 receivers. So with all the downplaying of receivers, second most picked position was receiver. And then you go all the way to the bottom. Kicker and punter, three each. Like, kickers did not separate themselves from punters. They tied them. Each with
what does
three
that
at
tell us, Brink? What does that tell us?
I don't know what it tells us. 19 running backs were taken, but 38 corners, 32 receivers. Because, well, what's the NFL about? Passing and stopping the pass. What are the top two positions taken?
I don't think it was an issue where it's like, we're going to find the next Brock Purdy. I think it was teams like, we don't want to end up like the 49ers did in the NFC Championship game last year, where we've got two quarterbacks, and then they both get hurt, and now we're screwed. So I think it seems just wanting to get some depth at a position that if you do not have a player, I mean, you can't win without a quarterback. So I think that's more so, I think the whole, we're going to find the next Brock Purdy, that's a fan thing. Because I know there were people here in Kansas City when Alex Smith was the starting quarterback, and the Chiefs would take guys like Tyler Bray, or will sign Tyler Bray, he wasn't drafted, or draft an Aaron Murray. It was like, oh, maybe that's the heir apparent to the starting job at quarterback there. I think that's a fan thing more than a team thing.
Chris, there was people in this town that wanted Alex Smith to start yet another year. And they wouldn't Mahomes to sit
for
2 years.
Were you in that?
Hell no.
I don't remember. You might have been.
I was.
Yeah, there were a lot of fans that wanted Alex to stay for another year.
I was team put Mahomes in at halftime against the Titans.
Really?
I was team. Put Alex in at the start of the year. I mean, to put Pat in the start of the year.
It's Tua Jalen Hurts national title game mentality. Nick Saban had some gonads putting Tua in that game instead of Jalen Hurts. Well, he was 26-2 as a starter.
Halftime.
That was the
at
biggest
the
move we've seen in football done was Saban at halftime going, Jalen, I know you're 26-2 and you're going to be a much better pro than Tua. Tua, true freshman, get in there, my friend. Win us a national title. That took some stones.
Yeah, but that was a different situation with the Titans. They were up by 18 and a half, so that's a different story.
I still would have rolled him, man.
Yeah, I mean, I would have started him too, but I don't think that was a feasible thing to wish for.
Maybe NFL MVP the next season.
Yeah, he did, but again, not a feasible thing to wish for when you're up by 18.
Butterfly effect, Bink. You know?
You know, this is a true story.
You can't
story.
Go back and change one piece of history and expect everything going to be the same.
This is a true story. Sitting here on that post game, I remember I was actually not this happy about the Titans loss. Like, people were crying.
Dishappy?
Whatever. I just looked for
just invented words.
There's another word there I'm thinking of.
I didn't sit here crying like a lot of people did. You know why?
No, I was here for it. He was very optimistic.
I was like, it's Mahomes time.
It's Mahomes time. I wasn't
Alex.
Sad either. I was happy.
You and I both sat here, Chris, happy.
I was happy.
Because we just lost the playoff game, but you and I are like,
all right, goodbye,
hey,
Alex.
Mahomes time.
It was real, bro.
Somebody from the 816. If you want to join the show, you can do so. 913-586-7610. Somebody from the text line says, like the guy saying some team picked up a dude who has a release like Tom Brady. I was listening when that happened. It was, I believe it was either McShay or Jeremiah talking about Aiden O'Connell.
Oh, O'Connell's got a release like Brady. Little Purdue guy out there, just like Tom Brady.
I do want to give some of these analysts a pass. Like, they're doing comparisons and they're trying to like take traits. They're not saying it's a one for one
comparison.
Except
for Ryan Kuiper in the 11. But
I don't think it's a skill comparison.
But here's the thing.
I think it's a style comparison.
Here's the thing though. There should just be a few like do not pass. And when Zach Wilson was coming out and they were like, he's got a little Mahomes in his game. I go, okay, so stop it. We're not doing this. Now, every time there's a quarterback who likes to like extend the play and chuck it 70 yards downfield, that does not make him like, that doesn't mean he has a little Mahomes in his game. Just like every guy who pulls up from 34 feet in basketball is not Steph. He's got a little Steph Curry in his game. Really? Does he? Oh, he's got a kind of like a Brady release. Is there anyone in between Tom Brady and the worst quarterback of all time that we could find a proper comparison to? Do we have to go straight to the top and say, well, he's got a little Tom Brady release in him?
I see him between Jamarcus and Tom Brady.
No, he doesn't. You know why? Because he's Aiden O'Connell and he went in the fourth round. He does not have Tom Brady's release.
Oh, this is something that Nick is very mad about.
It's just stupid. Like, pick any other player.
He was just sitting on his couch watching the draft, like, comparing him.
What if someone said thousands of quarterbacks you can choose from. Just don't pick this
he
one.
He was mad. He was don't so mad.
He's got every time a guy throws the ball on the run, they're like, he's got a little Mahomes in him.
Mahomes right there. I mean, I see some players make Mahomes-like plays, but I would never compare them to Mahomes.
Trey Lance
as a
was
player.
Compared to him all the time.
Oh, yeah, Jordan Love was too. Jordan Love was too. And I was like, whoa, hold on. Like, he did that at Nevada. Like, hold on a sec now. There's a difference between doing it at Nevada and doing it in the NFL.
What if they said you had Jamarcus Russell?
Well, that's fine. I mean,
would you run?
I would. If he had a Jamarcus Russell
out.
Work
would
ethic.
Would you be Will Levis hitting the next red eye out?
Yeah, I'd be out.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? Will Levis, he got to see that Kansas, that new Kansas City terminal up close and personal like twice within 30
seconds. Oh, yeah.
Four of those guys were like, peace out. And gone. Brian Branch stuck around.
Didn't dress up for it, though.
We should have hopped on the Will Levis media call.
Kiper loved
and been like,
some
hey, Will, just and Nick Schwartz, 610 Sports Radio.
Are you going to stay?
What were your thoughts on the new Kansas City terminal? I know you saw it, you know, twice in a short
very
amount of time.
Quickly.
Was it convenient for you? Where does it rank amongst your favorite airports? And I'll have a quick follow-up.
How convenient was it
Did
to get out of
barbecue?
Kansas City early in the morning when you didn't get drafted on Thursday? Was it really easy?
Yeah.
You know, did you not have to worry about your flight? Was it very comfortable waiting there early in the morning?
Were you impressed by the amount of options that were available to get a snack on your way out of town?
Yeah, was the coffee really good when you're trying to wake yourself up early in the morning so you can get out of town?
Yeah. And I'm gonna have a quick follow up. All right, it's a quarter till eight. This is the Character Concerns crew on 610 Sports Radio.
This is an NFL Draft Special with the Character Concerns Podcast crew. Subscribe and download today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. 610 Sports Radio.
is the text line. If you'd like to join the show, I'm Nick Schwartz with Chris Unocera, Jay Binkley. This is Character Concerns from the 913 question at Will Levis's introductory press conference. Mr. Levis, did the door literally hit you on the rear on your way out of Kansas City? I'll wait for a follow-up. He got out of there quick.
He got lots of TV time.
You think it helped that he left?
No. He's a meme.
I would have left. He became a meme.
Kudos to Brian Branch for sticking around.
Absolutely.
He was the only guy who got a green room invite that didn't get drafted that came back for day two.
Man, he's going to take that hotel room and that food and enjoy
but
it.
But you know what? I'll tell you this. I have respect for that. I'm not necessarily faulting the guys who go home. Do whatever you want. I don't care. But, you know, getting drafted and walking on the stage at the NFL draft, that is your dream. Why would you get that close to actualizing your dream and then it doesn't go the exact way that you wanted it to and you're like, peace out, I'm gone, I'm going to go sit in my living room.
Well, the funny thing is this is your lifelong dream. And Joey Porter Jr. left and he was technically a first rounder because he was 32.
He was not technically a first rounder.
No, he's a second rounder.
No, he's not.
You can't give him that.
No, he's not.
I am giving it to him.
That's like saying Drew Brees is technically a first rounder because he was taken at pick 32 as well.
Emmanuel Ogba was the same way because Emmanuel Ogba went 32.
No.
I'm just saying, that's not how this works. I know it's not how it works. But he was a top 32 pick.
But it's not about being a top 32 pick. It's about being in the first round.
But seriously, do you guys
because of Miami tampering.
Is he gonna get a fifth round option?
Top. No,
is he going to get a fifth round option? Okay, then he's not a first round pick.
A
thank
top
you.
32 pick. I know welcome it's
to, thank you for coming to my TED Talk. He's not a first round pick.
I'm just saying he is a top 32 pick. Which he is, typically
okay,
is
I'll
round.
Give you that. I'll give you top 32.
Top
factually.
32. Factually.
Factually,
yeah.
He was top 32.
My point is he should have stayed.
Like, oh, he was a top 32 pick?
My point is he should have stayed.
No, he shouldn't have stayed. I don't blame him. Look, you know how embarrassing it is? You know how embarrassed Brian Branch had to be walking across that stage?
No.
In his Letterman's jacket? No, Letterman's jacket. No,
he was.
Yeah, but it was 100% embarrassing for him.
Chris, what is embarrassing about being drafted?
Because you were supposed to be a first round pick.
Based off who?
When you get invited, you're expected to be a first round pick. And they got the camera trained on you the okay. whole time, and the analysts are like, well, why is this person dropping? And especially like it wasn't as bad for Brian Branch because he was a fringe first round guy,
yeah.
But for Will Levis, like, that was a guy that some people thought might be top 10.
But you just said it, though. You were one of 17 guys who got invited.
And you didn't get drafted.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
It's not like you failed the exam.
It's not your fault, but you didn't get drafted. And so now you're one of a handful who didn't get drafted.
I'm just saying, you went all the way over there. You went all the way to Kansas City to show up to the draft. And then it didn't go exactly how you planned.
So go home. Go home and be comfortable, man.
That's fine. If you want to
be comfortable, sit there with your hot ass girlfriend.
You got the rest of your life to sit at home.
And enjoy your time.
In Chris's defense,
I don't blame him.
There was a lot of shots of Will Levis, not the other guys.
Yes, I'm saying.
It was Will Levis, me.
It was all. It wasn't nobody like I know. I understand Brian Brandt. If he'd have left, I'd understand that. Joey Porter Jr. I understand. But like, Will Levis was the story. It was like, look, the first thing that we heard on First Take, what was the bigger story? The quarterbacks that were drafted or the fact that Will Levis wasn't drafted in the first round?
I will
round?
Say this about Joey
Porter.
Like,
that was
Porter.
A major storyline. That's pretty embarrassing.
Well, Joey Porter was definitely a first-rounder. You know, almost every mock you saw, he was a first-round guy.
I mean, you got the rest of your life to sit on your couch.
I would have stayed and enjoyed the
way,
free
speaking
round.
Of couches,
I wouldn't have gone out there in the first place just in case.
Speaking of couches. No, dude. Have some courage.
I'm going to chill. Man.
Have some gumption.
Home.
Get your
I'm
ass out there.
I'm
going to
chill at home. I'm going to enjoy it with my family.
Speaking of chilling at home, did you guys see the video of Lucas Van Ness? He got drafted by the Packers 14th overall.
Dad?
Yeah, did you guys see the dad given the, I think it was Will Levis' girlfriend, a little double ass slap?
You know
did
what,
see
though?
That, Chris?
Luke's,
no, I didn't.
You didn't see his video?
He
I
did.
Didn't see it. It went viral over the weekend.
Yeah.
They're celebrating. He gets the call, and everyone's
yeah,
jumping up and down.
It, man.
And everybody's kind of turning around looking for someone to hug. And his girlfriend stands up and hugs his dad and just gives him a little double.
I don't blame her a little double ass tap.
Double.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him.
No, I don't either, but it was a double.
I don't blame him.
It wasn't just a tap.
He could say
it was double a double tap.
He could just say it was a heat of the moment thing, but I don't blame him.
It was a little bit, one tap, I get it, but double tap.
Yeah. Sometimes you're in the heat of the moment, you know? I don't blame
By
him.
By the way, his girlfriend is Cole Kmet's sister. So weird.
Weird
Iowa. You know, I don't know what is Cole.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Quite how the math works out.
Here's where it worked out. Cornerbacks, 38 corners were taken. That was number one in the draft. 32 receivers. So with all the downplaying of receivers, second most pick position was receiver. And then you go all the way to the bottom. Kicker and punter, three each. Like, kickers did not separate themselves from punters. They tied them. Each with
what does
three
that tell
at the
us, Bink? What does that tell us?
I don't know what it tells us. 19 running backs were taken, but 38 corners, 32 receivers. Because, well, what's the NFL about? Passing and stopping the pass. What are the top two positions taken?
I don't think it was an issue where it's like, we're going to find the next Brock Purdy. I think it was teams like, we don't want to end up like the 49ers did in the NFC Championship game last year, where we've got two quarterbacks and then they both get hurt and now we're screwed. So I think it's teams just wanting to get some depth at a position that if you do not have a player, I mean, you can't win without a quarterback. So I think that's more so. I think the whole we're going to find the next Brock Purdy, that's a fan thing. Because I know there were people here in Kansas City when Alex Smith was the starting quarterback and the Chiefs would take guys like Tyler Bray or will sign Tyler Bray. He wasn't drafted or draft an Aaron Murray. It was like, oh, maybe that's the heir apparent to the starting job at quarterback there. I think that's a fan thing more than a team thing.
Chris, there was people in this town that wanted Alex Smith to start yet another year. And they wouldn't Mahomes to sit
for
2 years.
Were you in that?
Hell no.
I don't remember. You might have been.
I was.
Yeah, there were a lot of fans that wanted Alex to stay for another year.
I was team put Mahomes in at halftime against the Titans.
Really?
I was team, put Alex in at the start of the year. Pat in the start of the year.
It's Tua Jalen Hurts national title game mentality. Nick Saban had some gonads putting Tua in that game instead of Jalen Hurts. Well, who was 26-2 as a starter.
Halftime.
That was the biggest move we've seen in football done was Saban at halftime going, Jalen, I know you're 26-2 and you're going to be a much better pro than Tua. Tua, true freshman, get in there, my friend. Win us a national title. That took some stones.
Yeah, but that was a different situation with the Titans. They were up by 18 at half, so that's a different story.
I still would have rolled him, man.
Yeah, I mean, I would have started him too, but I don't think that was a feasible thing to wish for.
Maybe NFL MVP the next season.
Yeah, he did, but again, not a feasible thing to wish for when you're up by 18.
Butterfly effect, Bink. You know?
You know, this is a true story.
You can't
story.
Go back and change one piece of history and expect everything going to be the same.
This is a true story. Sitting here on that post game, I remember I was actually not this happy about the Titans loss. Like, people were
this happy,
whatever. I just looking for
just invented words.
There's another word there. I'm thinking of.
I didn't sit here crying like a lot of people did. You know why?
No, I was here for it. He was very optimistic.
I was like, it's Mahomes time.
It's Mahomes time. I wasn't
Alex.
Sad either. I was happy.
You and I both sat here, Chris. Happy.
I was happy
because we just lost the playoff game, but you and I are like,
all right, goodbye,
hey,
Alex.
It's
goodbye.
Mahomes time.
It was real, bruh.
Somebody from the 816. If you want to join the show, you can do so 913-586-7610. Somebody from the text line says, like the guy saying some team picked up a dude who has a release like Tom Brady. I was listening when that happened. It was, I believe it was either McShay or Jeremiah talking about Aiden O'Connell.
Oh, O'Connell's got a release like Brady. Little Purdue guy out there, just like Tom Brady.
I do want to give some of these analysts a pass. Like, they're doing comparisons and they're trying to like take traits. They're not saying it's a one for one comparison.
Except for Ryan Kuiper in the 11. But
I don't think it's a skill comparison.
But here's the thing.
I think it's
here's
a style
issue.
Comparison.
Here's the thing though. There should just be a few like do not pass. And with Zach Wilson was coming out and they were like, he's got a little Mahomes in his game. I go, okay, so stop it. Stop it. We're not doing this. Now, every time there's a quarterback who likes to like extend the play and chuck it 70 yards downfield, that does not make him like, that doesn't mean he has a little Mahomes in his game. Just like every guy who pulls up from 34 feet in basketball is not Steph. He's got a little Steph Curry in his game. Really? Does he? Oh, he's got a kind of like a Brady release. Is there anyone in between Tom Brady and the worst quarterback of all time that we could find a proper comparison to? Do we have to go straight to the top and say, oh, he's got a little Tom Brady release in him?
I see him between
no,
Jamarcus
he doesn't.
And Tom
you know why?
Brady.
Because he's Aiden O'Connell and he went in the fourth round. He does not have Tom Brady's release.
Oh, this is something that Nick is very
it's
mad
just
about.
It's just stupid. Like, pick any other player.
He was just sitting on his couch watching the draft. Like,
just pick
comparing
anyone.
Him.
What if
there
someone
are thousands of quarterbacks you can choose from. Just don't pick this
he
one.
He was mad. He was
don't
so mad.
He's got every time a guy throws the ball on the run, they're like, he's got a little Mahomes in him.
Mahomes right there. I mean, I see some players make Mahomes-like plays, but I would never compare them to Mahomes.
Trey Lance
as a
was
player.
Compared to him all the time.
Oh, yeah. Jordan Love was, too. Jordan Love was, too. And I was like, whoa, hold on. Like, he did that at Nevada. Like, hold on a sec now. There's a difference between doing it at Nevada and doing it in the NFL.
What if they said you had Jamarcus Russell?
Well, Luis? That's fine. I mean,
would you run?
I would. If he had a Jamarcus Russell
out.
Work
would
ethic.
Would you be Will Levis hitting the next red eye out?
Yeah, I'd be out.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? Will Levis, he got to see that new Kansas City terminal up close and personal like twice within 30
seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys, four of those guys were like, peace out. And gone. That's even though that's Brian, the first Branch, thing, that's, Brian Branch stuck around.
We should have hopped
Brian Branch didn't dress up for it, though.
We should have hopped on the Will Levis media call.
Kuiper loved
and been like,
some
hey, Will, just and Nick Schwartz, 610 Sports Radio.
Are you going to stay?
What were your thoughts on the new Kansas City terminal? I know you saw it, you know, twice in a short
Very
amount of
quickly.
Time. Was it convenient for you? Where does it rank amongst your favorite airports? And I'll have a quick follow-up.
How convenient was it
Did
to get out of
barbecue?
Kansas City early in the morning when you didn't get drafted on Thursday? Was it really easy?
Yeah.
You know, did you not have to worry about your flight? Was it very comfortable waiting there early in the morning?
Were you impressed by the amount of options that were available to get a snack on your way out of town?
Yeah, was the coffee really good when you're trying to wake yourself up early in the morning so you can get out of town?
Yeah. And I'm going to have a quick follow-up. All right, it's a quarter till eight. This is the Character Concerns crew on 610 Sports Radio.
This is an NFL Draft Special with the Character Concerns Podcast crew. Subscribe and download today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. 610 Sports Radio.
Is the text line if you'd like to join the show. I'm Nick Schwartz with Chris Unocera, Jay Binkley. This is Character Concerns. From the 913 question at Will Levis's introductory press conference, Mr. Levis, did the door literally hit you on the rear on your way out of Kansas City? I'll wait for a follow-up. He got out of there quick.
He got lots of TV time.
You think it helped that he left?
No. He's a meme.
Yeah, I
would have left.
Hey, he became a meme.
Kudos to Brian Branch for sticking around.
Absolutely.
He was the only guy who got a green room invite that didn't get drafted that came back for day two.
Man, he's going to take that hotel room and that food and enjoy
but
it.
But you know what? I'll tell you this. I have respect for that. I'm not necessarily faulting the guys who go home. Do whatever you want. I don't care. But, you know, getting drafted and walking on the stage at the NFL draft, that is your dream. Why would you get that close to actualizing your dream and then it doesn't go the exact way that you wanted it to and you're like, peace out, I'm gone, I'm going to go sit in my living room.
Well, the funny
thing
is,
this is your lifelong dream.
And Joey Porter Jr. left and he was technically a first rounder because he was 32.
He was not technically a first rounder.
No, he's a second rounder.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
You can't give him that.
No, he's not.
I am giving it to him.
That's like saying Drew Brees is technically a first rounder because he was taken at pick 32 as well. No.
Emmanuel Ogba was the same way.
No,
because Emmanuel Ogba went 32.
No.
Tom Brady
That's not how this works.
I know it's not how it works. But he was a top 32 pick.
But it's not about being a top 32 pick. It's about being in the first round.
But seriously, do you guys not?
Because of Miami tampering.
Is he gonna get a fifth round option?
Is he gonna get a fifth round option?
Okay, then he's not a first round pick.
Top 32 pick. I know
Welcome
it's
to,
not
thank you for coming to my TED Talk. He's not a first round pick.
I'm just saying he is a top 32 pick, which
I'll give you top 32.
Factually
he was top 32.
My point is he should have stayed.
Like, he was a top 32 pick.
My point is he should have stayed.
No, he shouldn't have stayed. I don't blame him. Look, you know how embarrassing it is? You know how embarrassed Brian Branch had to be walking across that stage?
No.
In his Letterman's jacket. No, Letterman's
Told
no,
him
it
was, to stay.
But Chris, yeah, but it was 100% embarrassing for
him. Chris, what is embarrassing about being drafted?
Because you
in
were
the
supposed to
round.
Be a first round pick.
When
you, get, when you get invited, you're expected to be a first round pick. And they got the camera trained on you the whole time. And the analysts are like, well, why is this person dropping? And especially it wasn't as bad for Brian Branch because he was a fringe first round guy.
Yeah.
But for Will Levis, Like, that was a guy that some people thought might be top 10.
But you just said it, though. You were one of 17 guys who got invited.
And you didn't get drafted.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
It's not like you failed the exam. It's not your fault,
but you didn't get drafted. And so now you're one of a handful who didn't get drafted.
I'm just saying, you went all the way over there. You went all the way to Kansas City to show up to the draft. And then it didn't go exactly how you planned.
So go home. Go home and be comfortable, man.
That's fine. If you want to do this, be comfortable.
Sit there with your hot ass girlfriend.
You got the rest of your life to sit at home.
And enjoy your time.
In Chris's defense,
I don't blame him.
There was a lot of shots of Will Levis, not the other guys.
Yes, I'm saying.
It was Will Levis, me.
It was all. What nobody, like, I know, I understand Brian Brandt. If he'd have left, I'd understand that. Joey Porter Jr., I understand. But, like, Will Levis was the story. It was like, look, the first thing that we heard on First Take, what was the bigger story? The quarterbacks that were drafted or the fact that Will Levis wasn't drafted in the first round?
I will say this about Joey
Porter.
Like,
that was a major storyline. That's pretty embarrassing.
Well, Joey Porter was definite first rounder. You know, almost every mock you saw, he was a first round guy.
I mean, you got the rest of your life to sit on your couch.
I would have stayed and enjoyed By the way, free
speaking of couches, I wouldn't have gone out there in the first place just in case.
Speaking of couches. No, dude, have some courage.
I'm a chill. Man.
Have some gumption.
Home.
Get your
I'm
ass out there.
I'm chill at home. I'm going to enjoy it with my family.
Speaking of chilling at home, did you guys see the video of Lucas Van Ness? He got drafted by the Packers 14th overall.
Dad.
Yeah, did you guys see the dad given the, I think it was Will Levis' girlfriend, a little double ass slap?
You know
did you
what,
see
though?
That, Chris?
Luke's,
no,
Lucas
I didn't.
You didn't see
that.
His video?
He I did.
Didn't see it. It went viral over the weekend.
Yeah.
They're celebrating. He gets the call, and everyone's
yeah,
jumping up and down.
It, man.
And everybody's kind of turning around looking for someone to hug. And his girlfriend stands up and hugs his dad and just gives him a little double.
I don't blame her.
Double.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him.
No, I don't either, but it was a double.
I don't blame him.
It wasn't just a tap.
He could say
it was a double tap.
He could just say it was a heat-of-the-moment thing, but I don't blame him.
It was a little bit, one tap, I get it, but double tap.
Yeah. Sometimes you're in the heat of the moment, you know? I don't blame
him. By the way, his girlfriend is Cole Kmet's sister.
Ugh.
So weird. Iowa. You know, I don't know what is Cole Kmet Iowa?
Cole Kmet.
And where'd he? He's a Big
was
Ten
he Notre,
guy.
Was he Notre,
oh yeah, Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Yeah. Okay. I mean,
but
I
his
understand.
Dad looked young, didn't he? I mean, his dad.
He looked frisky.
Extremely.
I'll tell
young.
You what. He looked frisky.
They're gonna have some weird conversations.
Chris, I'm gonna need you to look up that video because you're right, man. I mean, everybody was posting it on social media, so you know it's only a matter of time before one of them at the house notices it, and then the wife comes up to, you know, either the wife or Lucas himself goes up to his dad and is like, hey, bro.
Tap her on the side or the back or something, but right. The ass, Dad, twice? I mean, I'm talking to my dad, like, what are you doing, man? This is embarrassing. This is more embarrassing than Will Levis. You smacked my girlfriend on the butt twice. Will Levis is crying about not being taken.
I just saw it. It looked like it was I don't blame him.
But what about the second tap?
It looked like it was incidental.
It's only incidental if it's one tap.
Yeah, Chris, it was a double tap.
Maybe he's a two-tapper with his whole family. And so he just views her as part of the family. And he does that with his sons and his cousins and his brother and all that mess. Maybe that's just a normal thing for him. That's how he shows affection.
Next year, they need Lucas Van Ness.
I'm not going to judge his dad because I don't know his dad like that.
No, I respect his dad for that.
Wait, you respect him for that?
100%.
Well, if it was like him being a creep, we go.
100%.
That's
look,
that's
he's
a
the dad. No, he's doing that.
If he's being a creep about it, like a real creep, that's
guys,
not cool.
If you guys
I'm
never.
Not, Lucas Van Ness's dad
not cool.
is not a creep.
That's not cool.
Do you guys not know anything about decorum? Okay, there's a way that we handle ourselves.
How do we
public.
Know this doesn't happen a lot of times? It's just having to become
that's
video.
What I'm saying. I think it could be a situation where it's just a thing
yourself.
He does.
You listen to yourself. Hey, dude, no. He did it with confidence.
The form was outstanding.
And I can promise you this, that's not the first time he's done it either.
Oh, 100%
is not the first time he's done it. Just happened to be on national television.
I just want to know if that was the first time he's ever done like he's
it did
he's
look
ever
like
done
did it
with like, I wonder if he's done it if he does it with other people. I don't have a problem with it.
What would his
how would you
be?
Feel if Lucas Van Ness's dad double tapped you on the
ass,
Chris?
Well, we'd be fighting. Like,
oh,
we'd
so
be
you
fighting.
Do. So there is a line somewhere.
If he double tapped me, we fighting. Because at that point, it's not no accident.
What would his RAS score be for that tap? Would be like
it did look like a very athletic tap.
9.83.
It was very soft. It wasn't a good punch.
Yeah,
there.
That's the one thing I'll give him. It wasn't aggressive.
That was the best moment of the draft.
Well, love tap.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was a couple love taps.
You think that was the best moment?
That was a lot of love, Chris.
You think that was the best moment of
the
draft?
Best draft party moment. Not like CeeDee Lamb. What is?
I agree.
Whose phone was it?
CeeDee Lamb's girlfriend. He had two phones. The girlfriend grabs one of them.
And he grabbed it right back.
Immediately, just no look.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. You ain't about to grab my phone.
That was a great moment.
Ain't nobody grabbing my phone.
But the ass tab is right up there.
Lucas Van Ness's dad is going to be remembered forever.
Lucas Van Ness's dad rocks.
I don't think it's going to be a forever moment. I just think it's going to be like, oh, yeah, I remember that happening.
Well, if he's good, if Lucas Van Ness is good in the NFL, I'll always remember him.
What if
that.
His dad keeps doing it with new girlfriends or something? He's sitting up there watching.
Then we got to have a sit down. We got to have a.
If you just Google Lucas Van Ness dad right now.
I just searched it up on Twitter. Lucas Van Ness dad. And that was the first thing.
All right. Who was more of a creep, that or Musburger and AJ McCarron's girlfriend?
Musburger. 100%. Musburger. Because Musburger said it creepy. He said it creepy.
But I don't blame him, though.
He said it. I don't blame him either, but he said that's something that's something you say off the air.
Have your son be a quarterback.
You don't say that on the air. That was just so creepy when Musburger said that about McCarron's girlfriend.
Buda Baker has chimed in, by the way.
It was creepy, but it was all of us.
Buda Baker, the safety for the Cardinals, has chimed in. He said, okay, look, if my dad touched my lady ass on draft night or anytime, I'm checking him. Especially if he's still with my mom. I love that's a clarification. If he's still with my mom. If he's not with my mom, I'll let it slide.
He don't care.
All right, we got to take a break.
Do you think he had some explaining to do, though?
I'll tell you what. He's got some... Lucas Van Ness's father has some character concerns. Yeah, we'll talk to him next. This is Character Concerns on 610 Sports Radio.
This is an NFL Draft Special with the Character Concerns podcast crew. Subscribe and download today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. 610 Sports Radio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.